طيب.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه. Praise due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His assistance. ونستغفره ونستهديه. And we seek His forgiveness and we seek guidance from Him. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. And we seek refuge with Allah from our evil souls. ومن سيئات أعمالنا and our bad deeds. ما يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, no one can send astray. وما يضلل فلا هادي له. فلا هادي له. And whoever He allows to go astray, then no one can guide. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness that none is worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. May Allah send His peace and His blessings, exalt His mention, grant Him peace, His companions, and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. طيب. أما بعد, as to what follows, we continue with the explanation of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen رحمه الله تعالى on the book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, العقيدة الواسطية. And we were dealing with what quality, Akhwan? Hey, نعم. Yadan or Yadain, depending on the context or where it comes grammatically in the sentence. We had reached a point where the Shaykh said the following, which is, we said this is going to be a beneficial foundation for us throughout our Islamic life. This is not really confined to this this subject matter, which is the statement of the Shaykh, where he said, وَهَذِهِ فَائِدَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ وهي أنه لم ينقل عن الصحابة رضي الله عنهم ما يخالف ظاهر الكتاب والسنة فإنهم لا يقولون بسواه. He said, and this is a tremendous benefit. He was refuting those by saying that we don't have anything from our righteous predecessors that prove that what is intended by the hand is power or bounty. So he said, this is a great, tremendous benefit that nothing was relayed to us from the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, which opposed the apparent meaning of the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Nothing was related to us. So that means they don't say anything else. They don't have any other opinions. لِأَنَّهُمُ الَّذِينَ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنَ بِلُغَتِهِمْ نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ بِلُغَتِهِمْ وَخَاطَبَهُمُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِلُغَتِهِمْ. Because it is those whom the Qur'an was sent down according to their language. That's what they spoke. And the Prophet ﷺ addressed them in their own language, in the Arabic language. فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَفَهَمُوا الْكِتَابَ وَالسُنَّةَ عَلَى ظَاهِرِهِمَا. So it is inevitable that they will understand the Qur'an and the Sunnah according to the apparent meaning. There's going to be no subliminal messages there. فَإِذَا لَمْ يُنْقَلْ عَنْهُمْ مَا يُخَالِفُهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ قَوْلُهُمْ. So if nothing reaches us which contradicts the apparent meaning, then we understand that their understanding was what the apparent meaning indicated. Because we don't have anything that says otherwise. And we struck some examples last time about some ayat that were misunderstood and they were explained by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this kind of issue where the total understanding of the ayah was not really there, and then they inquired with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who clarified the misconception, indicates that they did discuss issues dealing with the tafsir of the Quran. And we said the classical example is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and they do not, no oppression touches them. They don't get in contact, they don't get any oppression, they don't perform any oppressive acts. And so this was heavy on the Sahaba. They said, O Messenger of Allah, which one of us does not oppress himself? Yani we're all sinful and we're sinners. They repented from Allah and their sins were nothing compared to ours. But at the end of the day, every son of Adam is a sinner. He said, no. No. The dhulm here means shirk. Did you not hear the statement of the righteous servant? Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Luqman alayhi salam in Al-Quran. When he told his son, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Verily, ascribing partners to Allah is great oppression. So here the Prophet ﷺ explained that what is intended by dhulm in this ayah is shirk, and not the dhulm that one does to himself, which is any wrongful act. So then the Sahaba, they were interactive and they discussed these with the Prophet ﷺ, and they were clarifications when needed. So whenever they did not have such discussions and an ayah was mentioned dealing with equality of Allah and they did not inquire about that, That means that they understood it according to the apparent meaning of the Arabic language, which was their mother tongue. This is what they spoke. Actually, that's the only quality that the Arabs had. Besides being generous and a couple of few other things, they were known for being backwards people. They were people that were ignored by the Romans and by the Persians, because who wanted to deal with the Arabs? It was just a trouble. So nobody tried to even occupy them or take control of them. They were left alone. They had nothing special about them in terms of civilization, except the language. They were eloquent people, eloquent poets. You know, the worst probably better than 100 Shakespeare's, because the language helped in the sense. So that was in their language. I showed you that the message was clear. So the Sheikh says, ثالثاً أنه يمتنع غاية الامتناع أن يراد باليد النعمة أو القوة في مثل قوله لما خلقت بيدي لأنه يستلزم أن تكون النعمة نعمتين فقط ونعم الله لا تحصى. The Sheikh said, thirdly, it is impossible in the utmost way that what is intended by hand is bounty or power. In statement of Allah, for example, when he told Iblis, لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيْ, to that which I created with both my hands, right? With my two hands. So it doesn't make sense that what is intended is ni'mah, because then you're saying only two bounties. And does Allah have two bounties? وَأَن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to enumerate the bounties of Allah, you will not be able to do so. So then it's not two ni'mah, it's more ni'am. So then that cannot be. The meaning, it doesn't make sense, wording wise. وَيَسْتَلْزِمْ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ قُوَّةً. Similarly, then power becomes only two powers. A. وَالْقُوَّةَ بِمَعْنَى وَاحِدْ لَا يَتَعَدَّدْ. And قُوَّة is something that cannot be counted. Power, it's not like you have one power, two power. It's just power. Okay, it's just like a collective meaning that cannot be counted. فهذا التركيب يمنع غاية المنع أن يكون المراد باليد القوة أو النعمة. So this kind of sentence structure makes it impossible that what is intended by that is either power or bounty as they claim. حب أنه قد يمكن في قوله بل يداه مبسوطتان أنه يراد بهما النعمة على التأويل لكن لا يمكن أن يراد بقوله لما خلقت بيدي النعمة أبدا. He says, just for the sake of argument, let us say that, okay, what it could be intended by the statement of Allah, nay, but both of his hands are stretched out. It could be intended ni'mah, if we wanted to interpret it in that way. But in concerning the statement of Allah, for that which I have created with both my hands, never. That doesn't make sense. So now you have to understand then the other ayah, بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ, which is, let's say, mutashabih, if they want to claim that, in the light of the what? The muhkam. That which is entirely clear. We know what it means, so then there's no dispute. Now what did Allah say about those in Surah Al-Imran? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Those who have deviance in their heart, they will follow that which is doubtful, that which is ambiguous. And they will say, but say, listen, we have a clear verse that cannot be interpreted in more than one way. The meaning is, it cannot be correct if you say what is intended by that which I've created with both my bounties, both my powers. It doesn't make sense. So then you are obliged to understand the other ayah in the light of that one. And the other ayah is clear already. But this is just for the sake of argument in case they had brought that to us. أما القوة فيمتنع أن يكون المراد باليدين القوة في الآيتين جميعا في قوله بل يداه وفي قوله لما خلقت بيدي لأن القوة لا تتعدد عليكم السلام. As for power, then it cannot be used or understood to be the case in either verse. Right? Or in either verse. Or either verse. Right? Either one is not going to work, because قوة doesn't make sense. Whether creation with two powers or both powers are stretched out, does it make sense? None of them. Okay, so the first one is may make sense, the other one doesn't. In terms of quwwah, neither one of them makes sense. طيب. رابعا, fourthly, this is all refutation of the Shaykh. أنه لو كان المراد باليد القوة ما كان لآدم فضل على إبليس. Had the meaning intended in the ayah was power, then Adam will have no virtue over Satan. Right or wrong? بل ولا على الحمير والكلاب. Not even over donkeys or dogs. لأنهم كلهم خلقوا بقوة الله. Because all of them were created by the power of Allah. So that Adam is just the same. ولو كان المراد بيد القوة ما صح الاحتجاج على إبليس and had the meaning intended was power, then Iblis would have had no reason to object. إذ أن إبليس يقول وأنا يا رب خلقتني بقوتك. He would have told him, me too, you created me with your power. You see what I'm saying? فما فضله علي. So what is his virtue over me? So it doesn't make sense. الحمد لله. خامسا أن يقال إن هذه اليد التي أثبتها لله جاءت على وجوه متنوعة يمتنع أن يراد بها النعمة أو القوة. Fifthly, that hand which was affirmed as a quality of Allah has come in so many different various ways that it is impossible for us to interpret it as bounty or as power. فجاء فيها ذكر الأصابع والقبض والبسط والكف واليمين. Rather, other particular descriptions that we have received concerning the hand is fingers. Right or wrong? Who knows the evidence? Who knows the evidence about where did the fingers of Allah, where were they mentioned in the Quran or the Sunnah?
The hasa
between his fingers? Hey, but try to avoid that. That's why I'm keeping my hand down there. Because we don't want to, you know, I'm trying to keep him handcuffed downstairs, so you will not mind up doing anything else. Yes, the Prophet ﷺ said that the hands of the believers are between two fingers of the Rahman. He turns them over as he wills. So that's why he used to say, Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. Hey. So this is authentic. So then the asabi' were mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. Qabd, grasping. Where was it mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah? وَالْأَرْضُ قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the earth will be in his grasp on the day of judgment. طيب البسط, stretching out. We just dealt with it. بَلْ يَدَاهُ مَبْسُوطَتَان. والكف, كف is like the palm. Where? The كف is in the Quran that you don't remember. I don't think it's in the Quran. Hey, where was it mentioned? Does anyone remember? I don't remember. So we'll leave it. Al-Yameen?
The Quran.
In the Hadith. Both of his hands are right. Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ. Hadith, hey. Hadith. Then we're still looking for kaf. We need to research that, inshallah, and find out where it came. Ala kulli hal, all these were mentioned. So the Shaykh said, وَكُلُّ هَذَا يَمْتَنِعَ أَنْ يُرَدْ بِهَا الْقُوَى. All these make it impossible for the intent behind the word yad to be power. لِأَنَّ الْقُوَى لَا تُوصَفْ بِيَدِ الْأَصَفْ. You do not describe power with having a palm and having fingers and having stretching out and being a right. All this does not fit the word power. It only fits the word hand. A. فَتَبَيَّنْ بِهَذَا أَنَّ قَوْلَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُحَرِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا الْمُرَادُ بِالْيَدْ الْقُوَّةَ بَاطِلٌ مِنْ عِدَّةِ أَوْجُهِ. So it becomes clear to everyone that those distorting the meaning, the misguided, who say what is intended by Allah's hand is the power, that this is a false statement in a number of ways. وَقَدْ سَبَقَ أَنَّ صِفَاتَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْخَبَرِيَّةِ الْغَيْبِيَّةِ الَّتِي لَيْسَ لِلْعَقْلِ فِيهَا مَجَالٌ. And the Shaykh said, we have already established that the attributes and the qualities of Allah is part of the informative unseen. Yani the unseen which we only receive through information, through revelation. And there is no room for intellect there. There's no place for you to inject your opinions upon the texts and you know, analyze them according to your mind, which may be deficient. But Allah, the most wise, the most eloquent, and the most guided man, the one who received the revelation, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, who had the best students around him, yani all the circumstances were fit for them to go into some details if there were some other hidden meanings. The fact that all this was left as according to the apparent meaning, meaning that there's nothing beyond that. So anyone who tries to go deeper than that is misguided. That's why when Imam Malik was asked, how did Allah rise above his throne? He became angry. He got the man kicked out of the masjid. Yeah, after he told him, he said, الإيمان بالسؤال الاستواء معلوم. He says, rising above is known. We will deal with that, inshallah. وَالْكَيْفُ مَجْهُولُ How? No one knows. وَالْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَاجِبُ For you to believe in it is compulsory. وَالسُؤَالُ عَنْهُ بِدْعَةٌ And asking about this is innovation. وَمَا أَرَاكَ إِلَّا مُبْتَدِعًا You look like nothing but an innovator. And then he commanded his students to kick him out of the masjid. Because he came to corrupt the minds of people. Man, people sitting there learning the deen. Ain't nobody trying to imagine how Allah rose above His throne. You don't need that stuff. That's none of your business. Because Allah didn't tell you, but you believe. So when this man came to corrupt the understanding of the people, Imam Malik, knowing the ayat about dealing with the prohibition of preventing people from the remembrance of Allah in the masjid, but this was a calamity, he got him kicked out of the masjid. Because this is a sensitive subject matter. So then the scholars, they would not dwell into these issues. He told them, believing in it is compulsory. Now you want to go into some details which were never discussed among the Sahaba with the Prophet ﷺ, you are an innovator. Because he was better than the one you're asking, and the students were more keen on knowledge than you. So someone better than me in knowledge concerning Allah, and those who were more keen on knowledge than you were with each other, they never had this discussion, then why we have a discussion? That's how the scholars put it. Very interesting way. المهم فإن الواجب علينا إبقاؤه على ظاهره من غير أن نتعرض له. So what is obligatory upon us is to keep it according to the obvious apparent meaning, and we do not try to dwell into anything beyond that, because it's none of our business. طيب, so that concludes the quality of hands. Are the hands of Allah like anything you've seen?
No.
Are they like the hands of the creation?
No.
Hands of human beings?
No.
Do we know, are they of a particular color?
No.
None of that stuff. Because once you think in this sense, then you're thinking in an anthropomorphic way. Human characteristics which do not befit Allah Azza wa Jal. So all this is garbage, as they say. This is garbage. Don't think about that, because you're wrong. Whatever you think, any wrong, but you don't deny the Quran and the Sunnah. طيب, إثبات العينين لله تعالى, confirming Allah's eyes, two eyes. Again, we will see, inshallah. الشرح ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى لإثبات العينين لله تعالى ثلاثة آيات. The author Ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله mentioned in order to affirm the quality of eyes for Allah. Three different verses from the Quran. الآية الأولى قوله واصبر لحكم ربك إنك بأعيننا فإنك بأعيننا. سورة الطور verse 48. The first ayah. So be patient for the decision of your Lord. Verily you are under our eyes or in our eyes. Okay, it could be translated in both ways. فَإِنَّكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا The literal translation is in our eyes. The one that we understand from the Aqidah of Al-Sunnah Jama'ah is under our eyes. But the Shaykh will elaborate to such an extent where you will have no misconceptions, inshallah. The Shaykh says, رحمه الله, هنا للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. This address here is to the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والصبر بمعنى الحبس ومنه قولهم قتل صبرا أي قتل وقد حبس للقتل. The word صبر linguistically, the lexical meaning means imprisonment, being imprisoned. And this is why they say he was killed صبرا, meaning due to imprisonment. He was imprisoned until he died. Okay, linguistically speaking, the word صبر. فالصبر في اللغة بمعنى الحبس. So linguistically, صبر means imprisonment.
No, patient.
Huh?
Patient. صبر. That is
صبر. Linguistically, now the words in the language usually have the scholars always deal with that. You know, they say that the العرف المعنى المعروف, يعني the common word, the meaning of the word amongst the people is one thing. Then شرعا عليكم السلام. It has a special meaning. The word salah in the Arabic language means dua. That's what it means. Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, if someone invites you to have iftar while you're fasting, fasalli lah. If you want to translate it literally, pray to him. But what is intended, make dua for him. Jazakallahu khairan, whatever along these lines. There's a particular dua that you say for someone who offers you fasting, and you, if you wish to continue fasting, you could read that in the right context. But either way, the word salah in the language means dua. But in Islamically, it's a whole bunch of things that books of fiqh were written about salah. Beginning with takbirat al-ihram, even before that the conditions of the salah, and before that the conditions of the tahara, then before that being a Muslim, everything is integrated with the word salah, because now it has a special meaning in the shari'. So sabr linguistically comes from the word habs, and that means patience, because you need to have patience. You're imprisoning yourself from violation, from transgression. So you see the meanings, of course, they're derived from something that is correct, يعني, but it doesn't have to be exactly what we translate it as. So anyways, linguistically then, it is a form of imprisonment. وفي الشرع, now Islamically, legally, قالوا هو الصبر لأحكام الله, يعني حبس النفس لأحكام الله. It is being patient concerning the decree of Allah, or the rulings of Allah, which is basically imprisoning yourself, preventing yourself from transgression concerning the decree of Allah and the commandments of Allah. طيب. وأحكام الله عز وجل شرعية وكونية. The أحكام of Allah, and I will use أحكام because the meaning will change according to the context, are both legal and universal. شرعية, legal. كونية, universal, meaning dealing with the universe, and not something that is, you know, like Universal Studios or something where, you know, it's more than one place. Universal meaning dealing with the universe, the kaun, the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. طيب. Now the Shaykh will break it down with the explanation. First, al-shar'iyya, al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legal rulings. Okay? Awamiruh, awamir wa nawah. It is commandments and prohibitions. Two things. Al-ahkam al-shar'iyya. Commandments and prohibitions. فَالصَّبْرُ عَلَى طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ صَبْرٌ عَلَى الْأَوَامِرِ وَالصَّبْرُ عَنْ مَعْصِيَتِهِ صَبْرٌ عَنِ النَّوَاهِ. Being patient concerning the obedience, concerning obedience to Allah, is being patient concerning the commandments. And being patient concerning avoiding the violations or transgression is falls under being patient against the prohibitions. So anytime you're patient to carry out something, mean you're being patient concerning the commandments of Allah. And anytime you're being patient by not sinning, then you are being patient concerning the prohibitions which Allah had made as limitations that you should not transgress against. Jameel. وَالْكَوْنِيَّةَ, now this is الشَّرْعِيَّةَ. الْكَوْنِيَّةَ أَقْدَارُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَيُصْبَرُ عَلَى أَقْدَارِهِ وَقَضَائِهِ. As for the universal, it is everything associated with preordainment, the pre-decree, that which Allah had written that will come to pass, that will occur. There's no way around it. There's nothing you can do. It's already written. How many years before Allah created the heavens and the earth? 50,000 years. Allah had decreed all these things. So then you are patient concerning the decree of Allah and His ordainment. وَهَذَا مَعْنَى قَوْلُ بَعْضِهِمْ أو قول بعضهم الصبر ثلاثة أقسام: صبر على طاعة الله وصبر عن معصية الله وصبر على أقدار الله المؤلمة. So the scholars have divided صبر into these three categories. First, being patient concerning the obeying Allah, patience in obeying Allah, patience in staying away from disobeying Allah, and patience concerning Allah's decree. Right? Who can give us an example of each? I don't know. The Shaykh will give us some. We will wait for the Shaykh. Or actually, let's hear from the brothers. Praying falls under which?
Commandments. Patience, disobeying.
Correct. I mean, of course, it's going to be both. Because it's a disobedience not to pray. So also you have to be patient by not disobeying. But originally, it's a command. So you're right. طيب, concerning the sin,
shirk, not shirk.
Not committing shirk. Ahsant, good. And the last one?
Last one was?
Decree.
How to do it?
Hey, this same. Any calamity that befalls you. You get in a car accident. لا قدر الله. طيب, if you need to have patience, that Allah decreed, that has nothing to do with obedience, commandments and prohibitions. It's all something Allah decreed. Yeah, that's what is intended with that third category. جميل. طيب. فقوله تعالى أو فقوله تعالى واصبر واصبر لحكم ربك تناول أقسام الثلاثة. So be patient. Be patient for the decision or the decree of your Lord. This is, the scholars say, this includes all three kinds of patience. الصبر على طاعة الله, be patient in obeying Allah. وعن معصية الله, and staying away from disobeying Allah. وعلى أقدار الله, أي أصبر لحكم ربك الكوني والشرعي. And the decree of Allah, meaning be patient concerning the legal and universal commandments and decrees and rulings of your Lord. وبهذا نعرف أن التقسيم الذي ذكره العلماء وقالوا إن الصبر ثلاثة أقسام, صبر على طاعة الله وصبر عن معصية الله وصبر على أقدار الله, داخل في هذه الكلمة واصبر لحكم ربك. So the Sheikh repeated again, so we know that all of these are included in the word واصبر. Be patient, all three are included, not two without the third, not one without the other two, but all of them are included. ووجه الدخول أن الحكم إما كوني وإما شرعي, والشرع أوامر ونواهٍ, والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أمره الله عز وجل بأوامر ونهاه عن نواهي وقدر عليه مقدورات. طيب, the reason why all three are included, because every حكم of your Lord is either universal, legal or universal. The legal one is commandments and prohibitions. والنهي, and concerning and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم عفواً, Allah has commanded him to carry out some acts, and he prohibited him from doing others. And then he decreed for him particular things that will happen to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, like the death of his wife Khadija and his uncle Abu Talib and others in the same year, which the scholars call the Amul Hazan, the year of grief. Because Rasulullah was overwhelmed with that, but it was during that year that Allah did what to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, as means of honoring him? Isra wal Mi'raj. There was the ascension, the night journey, the ascension to the heavens, where Allah honored him in a way that no human being has ever been honored. No one had reached that level, that being near to Allah. No one has, even Jibreel alayhi salam could not continue. Rasulullah went beyond anyone else. This was honoring him, for this is the mercy of Allah azza wa jal to the Prophet sallam, right? Same year. Now. ما ودعك ربك وما قال. Allah did not leave you, did not abandon you. Allah did not hate him at any point, عليه الصلاة والسلام. So all this is from the virtue of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, whom Allah blessed me and you to be his followers. And so how do we follow him? By strictly imitating him, emulating everything that he did in his life, in every aspect of life. This is how we show gratitude and gratefulness to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is how we are appreciative as well to our Lord who bestowed upon us this favor. طيب, فالأوامر مثل يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك. The Shaykh will give us some examples. Some of the things which the Prophet ﷺ was commanded, okay, was the statement of Allah عز وجل, O Messenger, announce that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. Announce, بلغ, convey. Number of ways you can translate it. This is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 67. Another one, ادعو إلى سبيل ربك. Invite to the way of your Lord. وهذه أوامر. This is Surah Al-Nahl, verse 125. The Shaykh said, وهذه أوامر عظيمة. These are great commands. This is a big deal. يعني لو قيل للإنسان اعبد ربك فإنه يتمكن من العبادة. If you simply told someone, worship your Lord. Easy. خلاص, he can worship his Lord, he will do it. لكن الدعوة والتبليغ أمر صعب. But inviting and تبليغ, and we're not speaking about جماعة تبليغ, okay, just because usually when people hear تبليغ then they go, you know, with the خروج. So no خروج and no دخول and no going out and no coming in. We stick to the sunnah, none of this stuff, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. So not the تبليغ. دعوة and تبليغ is دعوة and inviting, تبليغ is conveying. Okay, and we do it according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We wish goodness for all the Muslims all over the world, but you know, you can't follow any particular group and you know, call yourself a name, because that in and within itself negates many aspects of the Sunnah. This is not the time to elaborate on that. But the Shaykh said this is something difficult, doing da'wah conveying the message of Islam. لأنه يتعب في معاناة الآخرين وجهادهم فيكون صعبا, because the man has to endure and struggle in inviting others, and you know, struggling against them is difficult. You know, you have to go back and forth sometimes. It's not like you come give a lecture and then you go home, nobody ever sees you again. There's following up afterwards. You know, the da'wah, when you bring a new Muslim, that's an amana. I mean, to teach him the salah, to teach him tawheed, to teach him the tahara. You can't just wallah say, alhamdulillah, wallah, brother gave shahada with me, and then you know, khalas. Tayyib, what benefit is that shahada going to give you if he doesn't remain a Muslim, if he doesn't learn Islam? So then it's easy to invite him to Islam in a lecture, and he declares shahada, but what is difficult? To give him da'wah afterwards, and make sure that he remains within Islam. So that's logical, and it's an explanation, inshallah. This is the commandments. وَأَمَّا النَّوَاهِ فَقَدْ نَهَاهُ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. As the brother Barakallahu Fiqh have mentioned, Allah had prohibited him from committing shirk, alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course we are tab'a, we are automatically following and included in that. قال وَلَا تَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and do not be among the polytheists. This is Surah Al-An'am verse 14. لَأَنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. If you were ever to associate partners with Allah, then your deeds will be void. You will nullify your deeds. وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ, and similar verses of this nature. This was something that Prophet was prohibited from doing. Thirdly, وَأَمَّا الْأَحْكَامُ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ, that which Allah had decreed, the rulings, the decision of Allah concerning His decree. فَقَدْ حَصَلَ عَلَيْهِ أَذَى مِنْ قَوْمِهِ, أَذًا قَوْلِي وَأَذًا فِعْلِي. The Prophet ﷺ had actually received harm and harassment from his people, both verbally and physically. لَا يَصْبِرُ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا أَمْثَالُ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. None can be patient and endure with perseverance except those like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh will give us some examples. أَذَوْهُ بِالْقَوْلِ بِالسُّخْرِيَةِ وَالْإِسْتِهْزَاءِ وَالتَّهْجِينِ وَتَنْفِيرِ النَّاسِ مِنْ عَنْهِ. They harmed him verbally by mocking him, making fun of him, belittling him, and warning the people and scaring the people away from him. Warning the people from him, and you know, they would tell someone who would go to the haram, hey, be careful of this man. If you see this man, close your ears. Don't listen to him, he will perform magic on you. He will do magic on you to bring you to Islam. See how they were preventing the people from the da'wah. وَآذَوْهُ بِالْفِعْلِ, they harmed him physically. كَانَ سَاجِدًا تَحْتَ الْكَعْبَةِ فِي آمَنْ بُقْعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. He was prostrating under the Kaaba and the most secure piece of earth and on earth, the most secure spot on earth, the Kaaba. Sajidan li Rabbih, prostrating to his Lord. فذهبوا وأتوا بسلا ناقة ووضعوه على ظهري وهو ساجد. So they went and they got that leftover that comes out when the camel, she camel delivers. You know, the blood and the everything else that comes along with it, I don't know what they're called. Then they brought that and they placed them on his back, alayhi salatu wasalam, while he was prostrating. Who's the one who took it off? Fatima radiallahu anha. She went and he remained in the state of sujood. لَيْسَ هُنَاكْ أَبْلَغْ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَذِيَّةِ. The Shaykh said, there's nothing more severe than that, this kind of harming. مَعَ الْعِلْمِ بِأَنَّهُ لَوْ يَدْخُلْ كَافِرْ مُشْرِكٍ الْحَرَمِ لَكَانَ عِنْدَهُمْ آمِنًا. Although during their time, if a disbelieving polytheist was to enter into the haram, he would be secure. Huh? لَا يُؤْذُونَهُ فِيهِ, they would never harm him there. بَلْ يُكْرِمُونَهُ وَيُطْعِمُونَهُ النَّبِيذِ وَيَسْقُونَهُ مَاءَ زَمْزَمْ. But they will honor him and they will give him some wine to drink and they will give him zamzam. Actually, they say that if someone saw the killer of his father in haram, he wouldn't go and talk to him. Yani someone he's been looking for to take revenge for his father. Someone killed his father. He sees the killer, the murderer in the haram, he would not go speak to him because of the hurma of the makan. Because even with their jahiliyyah and the shirk, they honored the Kaaba. So they would not do something silly of this fashion. They will go around naked, whistling and clapping, right, thinking this is ibadah. But when it came to the hurma of the place, they would not address the killer of one's father over there. But all that they wouldn't do to a kafir mushrik, but to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they harmed him. Wa Muhammad alayhi wasallam sajidan lillahi yu'dhuna hadha al-adha. He was prostrating to Allah and they harmed him in this particular fashion. كانوا يأتون بالعذرة والأنتان والأقذار يضعونه عند عتبة بابه. They used to bring filth and feces and you know dirt, and they would place it at the doorstep, at his doorstep عليه الصلاة والسلام. وخرج إلى أهل الطائف وماذا صار؟ صار الإذاء العظيم. صف سفهاؤهم وغلمانهم على جانبي الطريق وجعلوا يرمونه بالحجارة حتى أدموا عقبه فلم يفق إلا في قرن الثعالب. What happened when he went to the people of Taif? They said great harm was inflicted upon him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The foolish among them and their children stood at the side of the roads and they were stoning him alayhi salatu wasalam until they made him bleed. And he fell unconscious until he woke up in Qarn al-Thalib. This is an area. Al-Muhim, فصبر على حكم الله. Now, just it's only fair that I remind me and you of something that deals with this. يعني look at the effort that he had to go through عليه الصلاة والسلام in order for this deen to be conveyed to us today. And look how we react, how we respond. To all of this effort, all of this pain, all of the suffering that he endured, then the Sahaba afterwards, then the ulama afterwards, to keep this deen intact. So no one will come and destroy it from within. With all the innovations and all the misguided and the Shia and the Khawarij and everything, the deen remained pure, available until the day of judgment. But what do we do concerning that? Some of us don't even care. And this is really aib in the social life. This is unacceptable. If someone has done you a lot of favors, you know, somebody, let's say you're coming from your country, somebody lives here already, he rents a place for you, he helps you get your iqamah, he goes through all these, you know, all these difficult tasks for you to help you settle down in this country, and then as soon as you know you're done and everything is settled down, he asks you for a favor, huh? And you say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy. Or you don't, what, I mean, people say, what are you, crazy? You shouldn't wait till he asks you for a favor. You should present yourself. Say, Akhi, Jazakallah, I'm settled down now. Now what do you want, what can I do for you? Please, I beg you, tell me anything you want so I can do it for you. Why? Because this is human nature. That's what is expected of you. We're not being asked to do him any favor, alayhi salatu salam. The only favor that we'll be doing is to ourselves. By listening and obeying, he told us, all of my ummah will enter Jannah, except those who refuse. They said, who will refuse the Messenger of Allah? He said, whoever obeys me will enter Jannah, whoever disobeys me has refused. And some people will refuse. Jannah is being offered, presented at their doorstep. Say, Mafi, I don't need it. Jazakallahu khairan. I have my own way of life. Ya akhi, you're talking about Jahannam, talking about punishment, you're talking about... Cannot even describe it. All you have to do is obey, appreciate the Prophet ﷺ, his effort, this suffering that he went through. So me and you can simply follow. So we will be protected from Jannah, from Jahannam al-Iyadu Billah, and permitted to Jannah. So we should, right? Shouldn't we? Yani just for our own sake, you know, just put these things into practice. When you get a hadith, you get an ayah, and you believe in it, you know, you just act upon it. Yes, we will fall into shortcomings. Nobody's going to become perfect. We will not be angels at any point in time. But there are things that are feasible and there are things that you struggle against. Some things are easy, some things you have to struggle against. The things that require struggling, you struggle, Allah al-Musta'an. You may fall short, repent, and so on and so forth until you die. Some things don't require that. We're just being negligent, right? So we're trying to address these particular issues. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to reward him abundantly for all the effort he exerted for conveying the deen of Allah as Allah had commanded him alayhi salatu wasalam wa na'am wa jama'na ma'ahu fil jannah. فَصَبَرَ عَلَى حُكْمِ اللَّهِ. So he was patient concerning the ruling of Allah. وَلَكِنَّهُ صَبْرُ مُؤْمِنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِأَنَّ الْعَقِبَةَ لَهُ. But he was patient in a way like that of the believer who believes that the outcome shall be his, that the good end shall be with him. لأن الله قال له واصبر لحكم ربك فإنك بأعيننا. Because Allah told him, so be patient for the decision of your Lord, verily you are under our eyes, meaning you're being taken care of. هذا الاعتناء والحفاوة, this special care from Allah Azza wa Jal. أَكْرَمُ شَيْءٍ يُكْرَمُ بِهِ الْإِنسَانِ أَنْ تَقُولَ لَهُ أَنْتَ بِعَيْنِ أَنْتَ بِقَلْبِهُ مَا أَشْبَى ذَلِكَ. The best thing that you can say to someone among the humans, you are in my heart, you are in my eye. Meaning, يعني, I'm fully focused on you. You know, the best, I will dedicate everything I can for you. This is as far as human being conversation, not that of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is يعني, the most valuable of speech. This shows care, love, concern, and taking care of someone. أَنْتَ بِعَيْنِي مَعْنَاهَ أَنَا أُلَاحِظُكَ بِعَيْنِي. So what is intended by you are in my eye, meaning I observe you with my eye. Now does it mean that you're in my eye? Because the Shaykh will deal with some of the foolish among the deviants who try to say that we Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah are kuffar. Because we say in the Prophet ﷺ is in the eye of Allah. And because they said that that's what the apparent meaning. But you ask anyone, if you told someone, أَنْتَ بِعَيْنِي, does anyone think that you're inside of his eye? No. I mean, this is common sense what is intended by mean, I'm looking over you, I'm watching you. You tell your son, don't worry, I'm watching you. It doesn't mean that he's in your eye, watching him. But it means you're observing him, even if he's from long distance. You call your wife delivering and you happen to be in another country. Say, I'm with you. Don't worry, I'm with you. Yeah, Sheikh, you're 50 million miles away. She's by herself in the hospital with the doctor, female doctor. And you are in another country, but you say, I'm with you. Honey, don't worry, I'm there. Yeah, Haj, you're not there. So no one will think that you're there. You're not going to go through the phone and come out, on your wife's face. But we understand from the language that this is a figure of speech in a sense. And we know what is intended. So the Shaykh will elaborate on that at the time, inshallah ta'ala. Al-Muhim. وهذا تعبير معروف عند الناس يكون تمام الحراسة والعناية والحفظ بمثل هذا التعبير أنت بعيني. This is something known amongst the people. It means you're under my care, under my observation. I'm watching you. And this is what they mean by they say you are in my eye, especially in the Arabic language. Maybe in the English you don't hear someone say you're in my eye. Maybe in another language you speak, they do. I don't know French if they have this kind of expression. طيب. إذن قوله فإنك بأعيننا يعني فإنك محروس غاية الحراسة محفوظ غاية الحفظ. So the Shaykh said what is intended by that expression, you are in our eyes, meaning you will be guarded in the ultimate way and you will be protected similarly. Guarded, protected. بأعيننا أعيننا معك نحفظك ونرعاك ونعتني بك. Our eyes are with you. We watch over you, we protect you, we take care of you. في الآية الكريمة إثبات العين لله عز وجل. In this ayah, we confirm the quality of eye to Allah عز وجل. لأنه لم أي لكنها جاءت بصيغة الجمع. But it came in plural. فإنك بأعيننا. Not بعينينا. Right? عينين أو عينين to أعين. جمع إيه لما سنذكر إن شاء الله تعالى. Why? The same thing we said about the hands, we say about the eyes. And what is the most clear cut obvious explanation? Who remembers?
The minimum of plural is two.
Beautiful. In the Arabic language, the minimum of plural is two. And the evidence from the Quran in two different ayat, the ulama of the lugha quote. One of them is قلوبكما. Speaking of Aisha and Hafsa رضي الله عنهما, what was used? قلوب, not قلبان, قلوب, plural. And we know that it's speaking about only two. And then there was another ayah which they used as well. Was it?
ID.
This is why we had that discussion, but this is not the one. فإن كان له إخوة فلأمه السدس. If he has brothers, then his the mother has a six. And they said that we know from the ilm of fara'id that there can only be two brothers, otherwise the mother would not have six. So this is two evidences, although إخوة was used, brothers, but we know what is intended is two brothers. جميل. So then no problem with that. But the Shaykh will give us some more elaboration. المهم العين من الصفات الذاتية الخبرية. The eye is from the personal informative qualities of Allah. Personal informative, meaning we have no knowledge of it except through the revelation. It's a khabar that Allah Azza wa Jal gave us, and we dealt with that in the earlier context. لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَزَلْ وَلَا يَزَالُ مُتَّصِفًا بِهَا. He's eternally and forever, he's been described or having this quality. It's not something that, you know, occurred at some point in time that wasn't there, then it came into existence. It is Allah Azza wa Jal, from the essence of Allah, from eternity, right? No beginning, because Allah Azza wa Jal has no beginning. A. الخبرية لأن مسماها بالنسبة إلينا أجزاء وأبعاد. We call it خبرية because in our understanding it's equal to parts and pieces. But فالعين هنا بعض من الوجه. The eye here is for us what? Part of your face, right or wrong? والوجه بعض من الجسم, and the face is part of the body. لكنها بالنسبة لله لا يجوز أن نقول إنها بعض من الله. But when it comes to Allah عز وجل, it is not permissible that you say that the eye is part of Allah or the face is part of Allah. لأنه سبق أن هذا اللفظ لم يرد. First, we have no such evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah, and our aqidah is we do not negate something that Allah confirmed, and we do not affirm something that Allah did not mention. Whether something Allah negated, obviously we don't affirm. Something that was not mentioned, we have no right, because that falls under وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And that it prohibited, you know, among the things prohibited is that you speak about Allah with no knowledge, that which you have no knowledge of, and we don't know that. So the Shaykh said وَأَنَّهُ يَقْتَدِ التَّجْزِيَ فِي الْخَالِقِ. Secondly, it entails dividing the Creator into pieces and parts. وأن البعض أو الجزء هو الذي يجوز البقاء الكل الذي يجوز بقاء الكل بفقده. And also what we know from parts is that that which one can afford to lose while maintaining the whole. You lose your eye, but your body's still there, right? A. ويجوز أن يفقد. So it is possible that you may lose a part, a body part. وصفات الله لا يجوز أن تفقد أبدا. As for the qualities of Allah, they can never be lost, you know. بل هي باقية, rather it will remain eternally forever. وقد دل الحديث الصحيح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن لله عينين اثنين فقط. And there's an authentic narration reported to us from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah has two eyes only. What is the evidence? حين وصف الدجال وقال إنه أعور وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرْ. When Prophet ﷺ described al-Dajjal, who's the Dajjal? The false Messiah. Okay, that's the most accurate translation. Yeah, they translated as the Antichrist. This is a quality of his. But the name al-Dajjal, liar, false, fake, imposter. And he is al-Masih al-Dajjal, the fake or the false Messiah. That's more accurate of a translation. But what is he in nature? He's Antichrist. He's the anti-believer, actually, right? And Isa alayhi salam will kill him. You know that from the events of the last day, inshallah. طيب. Anyways, when the Prophet salam said in describing him, he said innahu awar, one-eyed. Okay. Wa inna rabbakum laysa bi awar, and your Lord is not one-eyed. وفي لفظ أعور العين اليمنى, one wording of the hadith, he said that الدجال is blind in the right eye. Okay, yeah, she doesn't have the right eye, only a left one. A. وقال وقد قال بعض الناس معنى أعور أي معيب وليس من عور العين. And some people have said that أعور means one who's what is that word? معيب. Anyways, deficient, but there's a more technical word that I cannot bring to mind right now. Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
Faulty?
I was thinking of that. But something that has to do with body parts. Deformed? Deformation.
Deformation.
Yeah, I think so. Wallahu alam. Yeah, it's a deformation. There you go. Alhamdulillah. Correct? Inshallah. Hey. وليس من عور العين. And so they said some people what is intended by awar, meaning one with deformation and not one who is blind in the eye. But the Shaykh refuted that. He says وهذا لا شك أنه تحريف وتجاهل للفظ الصحيح الذي في البخاري وغيره. He said this inevitably is distorting of the meaning and ignoring the wording that is in the Sahih Bukhari, where the hadith says, أَعْوَرُ الْعَيْنِ الْيُمْنَى كَأَنَّ عَيْنَهُ عِنَبَةً طَافِيَةً. إيه وهذا واضح. The hadith in Bukhari is more explicit in its explanation. It says, he is blind in the right eye, he's one-eyed, doesn't have a right eye, and his eye is as if it is a flowing grape. Floating, afwan, floating grape. Grape? You eat grapes? You hungry? You thinking of grapes or what? You know the grape? Floating, as if it's floating on a cup of water, his eye is like that. So now, how can you explain that? That awar is not speaking about the eye. Now the wording is explicit in speaking about someone's eye and with the description of the eye. So then we're speaking about eyes. And awar means one-eyed, nothing else. وَلَا يُقَلْ أَيْضًا أَعْوَرْ بِاللُّغَ الْعَرَبِيَّ إِلَّا لِعْوَرِ الْعَيْنِ. Also linguistically, in the Arabic language, the word awar is only used for one who is one-eyed. أَمَّا إِذَا قِيلَ عِوَرْ أَوْ عَوَارْ فَرُبَّمَا يُرَادُ بِهِ مُطْلَقَ الْعَيْبِ. But if the other derivative is used like عِوَرْ or عَوَارْ, then maybe this may mean deformation. But أَعْوَرْ in this state can only mean one-eyed. Is that clear? جميل. وهذا الحديث يدل على أن لله تعالى عينين اثنتين فقط. This hadith indicates that Allah عز وجل has only two eyes. Okay. ووجه الدلالة أنه لو كان لله أكثر من اثنتين لكان البيان به أوضح من البيان بالعور، لأنه لو كان لله أكثر من عينين لقال إن ربكم له أعين. And the way we understand that is the fact that had Allah had more than two eyes, then it would have, something else would have been used other than the one eyed, because one eyed comes in context of two eyes, right or wrong? Do you know anyone with three eyes? And if somebody had three eyes, would it be befitting to say he's one-eyed? No, because now he has more than one eye. So other kinds of wording will be used in this context. The Shaykh gave an example. He said, for example, Prophet ﷺ would have said, your Lord has eyes in plural, right? He would have elaborated. لأنه إذا كان له أعين أكثر من اثنتين صار وضوح أن الدجال ليس برب أبين. Because if Allah did have more than one eyes, then the difference or the variation between Allah and the Dajjal will become even more vast, right? So there will be no doubt if he said, just hypothetically speaking, Allah had 50 eyes, طيب, and the Dajjal is one-eyed, that is a huge variation. You have no problem with that. But the fact that it was remained that he's one-eyed in order to compare to the two eyes. So that's what the Shaykh is trying to bring across. وَأَيْضًا we will actually leave that off inshallah. He will deal with other ways of refuting that particular thing. And the discussion concerning the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jal is quite extensive because of the ayat that will be used as evidence. And Allah musta'an, we ask Allah to aid us in fulfilling that in the best way possible, along with our many shortcomings. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.